However, for 2013, when we've asked people to give their opinions of what they see occurring in different corners of the world, what they're telling us is they're expecting to see a drop in the overall consumption of meat, milk, and eggs, and as a result, therefore, a drop also in the production of feed.
Now, obviously, the U.S. drought is a major factor here. Are there other instances around the globe that are affecting this as well?
Yeah, so the drought is obviously a critical problem, not just for the United States, but for grain prices globally. And what we see is that, whereas in the past, maybe the United States market would have existed on its own and affected certain other markets, we're increasingly seeing all boats are being raised or dropped by the level of the ocean, so to speak. So when the market goes up in Brazil, it goes up in Russia, it goes up in China. So the drought is obviously affecting prices. Those prices have increased dramatically, in effect doubling the cost of even simple feed such as broiler feed. And as a result of that, obviously, the cost of meat is going up, and we expect to see a drop in the consumption of meat. So that's obviously a major factor. One of the other issues, although this has existed for a number of years, is the so-called RFS, which is the fuel mandate to use renewable fuels such as ethanol. In the United States, as we know, that represents about 15% of the fuel being used in cars today and vehicles today. However, similar initiatives exist within the European Union. We see China going down the same road, and of course, Brazil has been doing some of the same thing. So that undoubtedly, by taking a certain amount, and people have differing numbers, but in the United States, as we know, we talk about 40-50% of the grains going into renewable fuels today. That obviously is also having a dramatic effect on the cost of grains. And if that wasn't there, I think we would see we wouldn't see this drought affecting us quite as much as it is.
But if you were to take the renewable fuel standard out, how would that affect global oil prices?
It's not clear to me, and I would never claim to be an expert on global oil prices. Clearly, the fact of having the availability of ethanol, the availability of new forms of fuel, such as obviously oil, is in the United States, is, I think, having a countervailing effect on the price of fuel. So that's a good thing for us overall. But obviously, none of us want to be making a choice between fuel and food. And particularly given that there are a lot of people here in the United States and indeed globally who don't have enough to eat, you know, the official figure of people who are officially malnourished is 1 billion. But the estimates as to how many people are living on less than $2 a day are closer to 2 billion. So out of a world population of 7 billion, that's a very significant choice, and one I think that we need to think about.
I had a chance to talk with Rabobank a couple weeks ago. They had come out with a study about what's going to happen down the road here as well. But one thing they point out is this time around, there is not a shortage of wheat and rice in the global food supply. Do you have any reaction to that?
Yeah, I think that the use of wheat is obviously an option, and the use of rice is obviously an option. These are not materials we commonly use in feed. It is true that the use of enzymes has really grown exponentially around the world. Phytase is an example. We do see people using wheat enzymes now, and we see specific enzymes being designed for rice. We have seen an increase in the use of what they call solid-state fermentation enzymes, which is the next generation, the third generation of enzymes, and that's very, very exciting as well. So I think those are going to be options, but it's not going to be quite as simple as substituting one form of corn for another form of corn or soybeans for soybean meal. I think we do need to understand that using those types of feed is different. It's different from a nutritional point of view and obviously requires nutritionists to really formulate a lot more carefully around all aspects of what they're doing.
Oh, what they were talking more about was that consumers could turn to wheat and rice. They'd be forced to turn away from animal proteins, but could turn to wheat and rice, that there would not be a food shortage. It would just be a different type of food base.
Yeah, I suppose I've been lucky enough to travel the world. I've been to over 100 countries, and probably even in the last 12 months I've been to 50 countries. And what I see around the world is that once people start to consume meat, they don't go back. So the expectation that somebody who's been living off rice and beans and tastes chicken or beef for the first time is going to make a decision to no longer want that, I think would be a pipe dream. I what I see is that gradually, as people's tastes have evolved, they are making the decision to continue to eat that better quality food, food which they find tastier. And it's not to say that wheat and rice might not temporarily be part of somebody's diet, but I don't see that even in the space of a 12-month period being a decision that somebody would take.
What about some of the global economies? I mean, will China slow down a bit? What about India? What do you see out there?
I think the Chinese economy will continue to grow. I'm a little bit suspicious sometimes about the growth numbers. 8% a year, plus or minus 0.5% is remarkably consistent. And I know the Chinese government is constantly turning on and turning off the tap of water, of money, to try to keep their economy going. I see already that they have a tremendous property bubble, particularly in the large cities. They seem to have huge issues of moving people around the country, and of course their agriculture in general is not as productive as it needs to be. India is a very, very exciting market. Unfortunately, one which has not been open to United States exports to the manner that maybe it will be in the future. But I think it's very exciting because, again, you have a relatively small number of people today eating meat. Today, majority of people are still eating vegetarian diets. However, again, we find that when people change, they change for good. And I believe that with that population still is very young, still growing and exploding very quickly, and probably will exceed China here in the next 5 years in terms of the overall population, its population versus China. So I think India today would consume maybe a quarter or even a fifth of the amount of meat that the Chinese person does per capita, and I see that as being a very exciting market moving forward. There's no doubt if you look, you know, we're talking about some of the negatives about what might happen in 2013. But if you look further forward towards even 2010 or 2020, the world is going to be consuming much more agricultural produce than it ever did before.
What about South America? Do you look, will they be able to kick up and cover some of this, what we've lost this year?
It seems as though the harvest there is going well, but certainly is not going to be able to overcome or compensate for what's happened in the United States. They are also, I suppose, something that surprised me. I was at the meeting in Rome. A presentation was made showing the level of drought which exists around the world. And this person from the IFIF, which is the International Feed Ingredients Federation, pointed out that the drought today is occurring in something like 35 countries. So it's not just a United States issue. And I think, with our grain reserves being as tight as they are, we're constantly on the edge. If anything happens with regards to unexpected weather in any part of the world, which is critical for the production of grains or protein, proteins or oilseeds, we suddenly see the market tipping over the edge very, very quickly, whereas in the past that would never have been an issue. You know, even if you think back to the 1960s when there was a drought in India, the United States exported about 25% of its grain reserves to India to help them feed their population. Today, that simply wouldn't be a possibility.
One of the big concerns the last time around, 4 years ago, when we had the shortage of wheat and rice, was countries started cutting off exports. They started hoarding, kind of panic buying out there. Do you see any indications that that could be a concern again this time around?
Undoubtedly. And I think if you take countries like Russia, some of the former Soviet Union countries like Kazakhstan, Ukraine, these are becoming very critical for the wheat markets globally. They do export a lot, maybe not in terms of total volume, some of the countries, but significant enough that they affect markets. And I think you only need to look at what's happened in Russia. Food is very much a political issue in Russia. It's very much front and center with their president, Vladimir Putin. And I think that if they feel that food is short in the world, there's no question that they will make some of those decisions with regards to their own supplies.
So what were your points that you made to the FAO?
Primarily that feed production continues to grow, that China is now the largest producer of feed in the world and undoubtedly also a very large consumer of meats and proteins, that with the issues of the drought in the United States and in other countries of the world, with the issue of the political decisions to produce renewable fuels. And of course, with the ongoing recession, we would expect a reduction in the amount of feed being produced in 2013, but through to the next 10 and 20 years, the future is still very bright. Everybody's out there in agriculture understands that it's a business which fluctuates a lot. You never know from one year to the next what you're going to get. I think the man above makes his own decisions, and we do our best to work with the weather he gives us, with the opportunities he gives us. But it's still an exciting business to be in. I think it's going to become more exciting in the future. I think that's being recognized not just by people like yourselves, but also the mainstream press. I see more articles on food sustainability, food security than ever before. So it does seem as though we're in the sweet spot with regards to the world's attention.